blues and all the shofar. We got this thing working? Can you hear? Is the microphone working? Okay. I'm not hearing anything through the monitor, so maybe that's got the light on. Oh, I didn't have it all the way over. Oh, now we're going. The button got stuck in the middle. Okay. But Rachel Blue is called the shofar, and it's a traditional instrument in Judaism for calling the congregation to worship and to study the Lord's Word. So I don't know if we'll be blowing the shofar every week, but I'm sure we will be blowing it on occasion around here now that we have somebody who has one and is willing to blow it. Along those lines, I just love the fact that so many people are involved with our worship service, considering the percentage of our congregation involved for our size is huge. I'd like that percentage to go down, but I'd like to, not because, but actually have more people involved. So if I do the math on that, that means we need more people. The way we do that is by inviting people and by having the Lord shine in our own lives. Now, as we heard today from Elaine, the persecuted church in Laos is a church that is growing. There are still things that need to be careful about. As Carolyn is doing her work there, she can't socialize or be seen being with some Christians in certain areas because that would draw attention to them, she being a foreigner and being known as a Christian. But there's other ways that she can help and lead other people to Christ. When we pray for the persecuted church, we're praying for the part of the church that is probably the fastest growing. We here in the U.S. are not growing as fast because we don't have the level of persecution. And while that seems kind of strange, you would think that when things are nice and calm and peaceful, that growth would be better. But it's not. Not with the church. The church grows better in times of difficulty. Now, that doesn't mean that we want to wish difficulty upon our brethren in Christ. But we want to recognize what goes on during that time. And we're going to see some of that in our message today, in the text that we're looking at. So if you'd turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and we should have it up on the screen. You want to follow in your own Bible, or you can look up on the screen. Romans chapter 8, we'll start with the 18th verse. It reads, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation of the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjugated to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for this hope that we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently. For in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, For, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have given us difficulties in which to grow. Lord, we thank You that we can hear Your Word. Now, Lord, we ask that we would hear it, not just with our ears, but with our hearts and our minds, through the empowerment and opening of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would have You showing us how it applies to our life this day. Lord, show us that truth which we each need to be encouraged and strengthened for today and tomorrow, and how we can better serve You. Father, I pray for myself that as I preach this morning, Your people would be encouraged, Your name would be lifted up and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul begins with, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing the glory, that creation, that will be revealed in us. Glory that will be revealed in us. Now, before that verse, in verse 17, is it possible to get verse 17? Right. Should be up just a moment. I didn't warn them ahead of time I was going to do that. Romans 8:17 says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. So we're His children because we share in His sufferings. And we see Paul saying that, I consider our present sufferings not worth comparing with the glory. It's almost a throwaway phrase. It's something that we move on beyond. But yet, say, our present sufferings, well, what's going on? What has happened with Paul? Here you're talking about a man who has been imprisoned already. Now, he hasn't had his final imprisonment yet, that we read about next. He's right now, he's just coming to the end of his third missionary journey. He has not yet gone on his return trip back to Jerusalem. But he's just preparing to go when he writes this letter to the Romans, telling them that he's going to be going to Jerusalem, and from there his plans are to go to Rome. Now that's exactly what happens, but not in the methodology that he thought was going to happen. Because, remember, when he goes to Jerusalem, he's arrested and spends a year or so in prison there, then gets shipped off to Rome, shipwreck, and then off to Rome. Threatened to kill him, but he says, no, we'll all stay together. But even before these things occur, which a lot of us think of as the worst, you have to remember that Paul has already been stoned a couple of times. Now remember, stoning is a death sentence. He was left for dead. They threw rocks at him until they thought he was dead and left him. And he's saying, I consider that our sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory. Anybody here been stoned to death? No. None of us. Nobody. I don't imagine it's pleasant. It's suffering. Anybody ever been hit with a rock? Did it hurt? Would you say it's not worth comparing to other hurts? What he's saying is that all the trouble and difficulties that he's gone through are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to come. That the price is well worth paying for the reward. Now, if I told you that you could buy a house with 10 bedrooms, 5,000 square feet of space on Lake Minnetonka for $100, you'd buy it pretty fast, I would imagine. What if I said $100,000? You would probably still buy it pretty fast, because you could probably sell that house for a couple of million dollars. You wouldn't think that that price of $100 was even worth talking about in comparison to the value of this property you'd be buying. What Paul is talking about here is saying that the sufferings that he's gone through, it's nothing. It's nothing to pay. I would pay that and more for what I'm going to get. What is coming is so much more valuable. When the church is persecuted, we see that we are sharing in the sufferings of Christ, in order that we might also share in His glory. Now, our salvation is free. That price has already been paid. See, Christ suffered for us that would occur. But we have not yet been perfected. Anybody here perfect? No. But as we go through the perfecting process, as we are conformed more and more into the image of Christ, we go through these difficulties. And we do it, why? Because we have a hope. And a hope of what's coming. We know what's coming. Eternity with God. We have the fact that we will no longer be in pain, that we will no longer be in, for me, a crippled fat body, but instead, we will be new creations in Christ with new perfect bodies. But more importantly, we will be in the very presence of God and be with Him. As much as we have the Lord living within us now, the Lord living with us is fighting for space with the world trying to intrude into our lives, and the enemy trying to take over sections of us. Well, here and there. And we've been seeing how we're supposed to make our life more Christ-like. And as we do that, the things of the enemy can't live within us. We need to put to death the things of the world. Well, as we do so through the strength of God, because the reward is worth more than the cost. That gives us hope. Now, if we already had it, we're not as likely to want it. I mean, you don't hope As Scripture tells us here, we don't hope for those things which we already have. It's actualized. We might be thankful for it, but we don't hope for it any longer. I don't hope for a wife. I have one. And one is plenty, thank you. Not that I have anything. That didn't come out very well, did it? For the record, let me say, I love my wife dearly, and she is a blessing. But I don't want another wife. Ever. I want to keep the one I got. So I'm not hoping for another one. Have I saved myself yet, or am I still dead meat when she hears this? Even though it's the truth. That's the important part. We don't have the perfected relationship with God yet. We don't have the perfected bodies. We aren't in the presence of God in His full glory yet. That's coming. That's the hope. And that's what helps us to drive through. But we need to remember that hope is out there, and we need to be patient and wait for it. And it's going to come. There was a time when I hoped to be the pastor of Northbrook. Now I am. I no longer hope to be the pastor here. Sometimes, we'll leave it at that. And some of you, probably the same thing. But when the Lord was leading me here, and as I was hoping to be the pastor here, I had to step forward not knowing what was next. Don and I moved from South Dakota, and we bought a house across the street from Ed and Peggy. We didn't know that's where they lived at the time we bought the house. But we did that in the hope that this is where we were supposed to be. We didn't know what the next step was, so we just took a next step. We didn't see how the door was going to open, but we just kept walking forward. And we walked forward under the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We believe, and I believe that the fruit of that has been borne out. And then we did achieve that hope. What we see here, next section, is that the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf, even though we don't know how or what to do. The Holy Spirit does. If we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will intercede on our behalf, because the Holy Spirit knows the Lord's will. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. But the Holy Spirit can raise up within us the desire of our, and put there the Lord's desire, and shine the light and show us what our hope should be. The Holy Spirit enters into this with us, groaning. As we groan, as we go through the different trials, referred to here like childbirth. Now, I'm not cognizant of all that a woman feels when she goes through childbirth, but I do believe that most of them have said that Bill Cosby was pretty close when he said, take your lower lip and pull it up over your head. But the Holy Spirit's there with us as we are going through difficulties and going through these trials. It's because the Lord has brought these things to us in the preparation of what's coming. Anybody ever whittle? Ever whittle a stick? Just take even just something to put marshmallows on. You whittle the end and you make a little point. Maybe you took a stick and, you know, I took a piece of wood and I, with a knife, made a wooden knife. But in order to make, and I've made a wooden bell and I've whittled a few things here and there, but in order to, I had to cut at it and remove it. And it wasn't always a good or an easy process. Sometimes there were mistakes. But what happened is, eventually I got something that looked like a knife or looked like a bell. I actually made a bell that I gave to my grandmother. I made a wooden bell, which I had whittled. It was my big one-time whittling project. It had a wooden clapper in it and everything. Now, when we go through trials, these things are being removed from us. We've got these excess things. What is it? Stuff in our lives that gets between us and God. Stuff in our hearts, in our minds. We go through these sufferings to bring us closer to God. And also to bring others closer to God. If I go through a difficult time, and I can point to the Lord as being the one who carried me through, that is an encouragement to other people. I've had people say, how can you do what you're doing? This last weekend, I went to Appleton, Wisconsin, actually to a little small town about 30 miles from there, to do Ross's gravesite service. We hadn't had one yet. We did one for his wife Florence's family, and she had passed away in year 2000. As we went through the week, you know, I said, well, I'm going to do this. Oh, you know, it's all so hard. How can you do that? Stopped at the restaurant. Oh, what are you on your way for? Well, going to do a funeral. Oh, how can you do that? But we were able to go and do it, and we were able to share with these people that we were able to do it with joy because of the hope that we have in Christ and the fact that we have the hope that Ross has already realized. And that is a light which pulls other people closer to God. Persecuted church does that. Elaine talked about the families that didn't sign the paper renouncing their Christianity and how they were persecuted. This will lead to growth in the church. There will be others who will come to Christ because of it. The church in China is growing faster than any place else in the world because the persecution is so great there. The only, you know, where it's growing at a closer or the closest place that's okay. Somebody else should really come up and preach today because obviously I can't talk today, but hopefully the Lord is speaking to you and you're hearing what He's got to say to you and not my fumbling. Africa is the next place where the church is growing. Growing in leaps and bounds. What's happening in Africa? Name it. You've got one tribe trying to commit genocide against another tribe. You've got AIDS rampant. And Christ is the hope that's shining and bringing comfort and help to the people who are going through these difficulties. And the church is growing there. China, a couple weeks ago, if you remember, the gentleman who shared in the video today told the story about the T-shirt Bible. And then how 30 years previous, the gal, the little old lady who was then a 30-year-old woman, had been set naked with a dunce cap on her head before thousands of people in a stadium and told to renounce her Christianity. And she said no, she wouldn't do it. So they set her to a life sentence of cleaning the open sewers. But as you look through China, you see that the church is growing. The persecution, people see how Christ, how the Holy Spirit carries the believer through. And even they say, why is it? Because I have a hope. And they can then share how valuable that hope is. And how these penalties, these things the suffering I'm going through right now, isn't worth even comparing to what I'm going to get later, to what's coming. Now this is totally against what we're taught in today's society. It's all about give it to me now and give it to me cheap. You know, I want my hamburger in 30 seconds and I don't want to pay 99 cents. That's why I go to McDonald's, right? Here we're told it's going to cost a lot, but that cost is nothing compared to what we're going to get. But what we're going to get, we got to wait. But it's coming. But the Holy Spirit's going to be there with us through the whole time, laboring with us. We're not in this by ourselves. We're not waiting for this hope by ourselves. We've got the Holy Spirit groaning in labor with us. The hope and the glory. The hope is for the glory. And it's something which as we work towards, we spread hope to others. It's kind of like a disease that's good. It's contagious and it spreads. But this is beneficial. Remember, it's hope for the hopeless. What is the one thing that people need in this world in order to push through? It's hope. So let's push through to hope. Through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that You have given us the Holy Spirit to come alongside and help us through these difficult times, these sufferings that we will and need to go through as we come towards the hope. And Lord, even as we come to it, we're not always going to know what it is that You were going to have us do next, what the next step is. But Lord, we know that we need to follow You to it and through it so that we can one day achieve the glory that You have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we close by singing Our God Reigns.